You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
This is All Things Therapy, where we are changing consciousness one conversation at a time. And I'm Lisa Tahir, your host.
Hello there. Welcome to All Things Therapy Podcast. I am Lisa Tahir, your host. I am coming to you from New Orleans today. I hope I find you well wherever you are listening or watching. And just briefly about me, I am a licensed clinical social worker. I really love helping people heal their emotional vulnerabilities, emotional wounding, things that you feel like have held you back from really embracing yourself in fullness and in authenticity. You can learn more about my work at my website. I'll just direct you there because I have an awesome guest today. My website is nolatherapy.com. It stands for New Orleans Los Angeles Therapy.com. And that's my Instagram as well. I am really happy, excited, delighted about today's guest because she is a fellow podcast host. Today, we are so blessed to be with Kim Duff Selby. She hosts Ignite Your Spark podcast. And I like this quote when I dug into Kim's work. She describes herself as a curious seeker of information who has learned to ignite her own spark for more laughter and true happiness. And thus, quote, Kim says, "My desire is to empower women to help them shine." Kim works with people in person or via Zoom. She has hosted and hosts workshops and speaking events around the world. She has had a really dynamic career and life. And with that, Kim, I'm going to bring you into the stream. Welcome.
Thank you. I love that. I forget some of the things I write about myself.
I figure that might be the case. So I wanted to quote you directly because I really like the way you worded things.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, Lisa. What a pleasure.
I'm delighted. I was on your show recently, and I've been listening to your podcast episodes, and you really illuminate and share with us some unique paradigms and perspectives.
Thank you. Thank you for that. That means a lot to me.
You're welcome. So I'm not sure where you want to start, but a couple things that struck me. I'd love to hear you talk about igniting our inner spark. I know you started your podcast at 64. I'm curious about that. You have a background in fashion, in being a fashion director. You've had a production company directing over 200 fashion shows. I'm curious about the thread tying it all together. And I wonder, where do you feel led to start?
Well, I want to say, first of all, I don't know why I want to say this, but you were talking about everything. And when I was 5 years old and people would say to me, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" I said, "I want to be a star." A star. Like, why didn't I just want to say, "I want to be an actress"? Like, yeah. No, I want to be a star. And it's funny, Lisa, because I'm creating an online program now. And, you know, I always think about writing a book and all. And so you write down things all the time. And I realized that star, that spark, that sparkle has been with me forever. Mm. And I think the essence of what I always wanted to be shines through in everything that I have done. And when it hasn't done that, like in a job,
yes,
I've been fired or I've quit. Yes. So, you know, you have to find that inner spark. And I think that I was really fortunate to be raised in a beautiful home where I was encouraged in all areas. And not everybody was encouraged as they were growing up to do certain things, to be really who they are.
Yeah.
And I'm probably losing track and focus of wherever the question was. But that inner spark, I was fortunate. I think that I'm able to access it because my parents gave me so much love when I was growing up and a belief in myself. Now, that's not to say they didn't keep secrets, because my mom passed away when I was 22. And a few months later, I found out I was adopted.
I heard that on one of your podcasts that you learned as an adult that you were adopted.
Exactly. And I had to realize, okay, I can either wallow in self-pity and go, why me, why me, why me, or I can just move forward, because my dad did not tell me. I found it through reading some papers, and I thought I had to be there for my dad, you know, and I believe in life after life. And my parents, my mother raised me as a spiritualist. So I knew that she was still there, not yes. in form. And that really helped me, Lisa. That helped yes. me forward. And I knew I was living, I was only 22. I was selfish. I had to get out there, go back to, you know, graduate school and have a good time. But I also cared very deeply for my father. And I just knew that life goes on and I got to pick myself up. And I think that was not the first time, but it was the first time. No, it wasn't the first time I had to reignite my spark. That's other stories. But
yeah.
Anyway, I want people to be happy. I like to be around happy people, Lisa. I like to be around upbeat people. And I realize that I have the power to help people transform into that because I really strongly desire it for them.
Yes. Kim, it's interesting you started with being 5 years old and remembering you wanted to be a star, because I had jotted down a note. I was curious, how did you start speaking on stages at age 5? Because you started speaking that young.
I did actually, but it was when I was in my first like ballet performance, because my parents, that was what you did back when I was 3, 4, and 5. Okay. There was nothing else for girls. You put them in ballet.
Yeah.
And it was when I was on stage in this little show called The Littlest Angel. And I was not the littlest angel. I was one of the chorus girls in our little robes. And I got such pleasure out of being on stage. And I just loved it. And I wasn't speaking on stages at 5, but I did go to a private elementary school. And you, every week, a different grade was responsible for speaking, or everybody. We had to get up and speak. You were encouraged. It was incredible. It was, and then when I went to a high school, private girls' school as well, everybody was encouraged to get up and speak. Now, I think I just took to it naturally because I loved acting and I loved being on stage and I love people making people laugh and yes. smile. So I just was given opportunities and I took every one of them.
Okay. You know, I'm coming back to what you shared was just really powerful moments ago about learning after your mom passed away that you were adopted. And I've done some work with misattributed parenting group, how people learning things like you did and having questions, possibly feeling betrayed, and that you had the spiritual knowledge that though your mom wasn't here in physical form, that non-physically she was. And I just wondered if what that process looked like for you to, is it make peace with learning that after her passing, or what that looked like for you?
Well, it's interesting, Lisa, because I think I compartmentalized. I think I put that aside and I got on with my life. Now, I told one friend, because she had been adopted and she was a recent friend from graduate school. Her mother told my father, and then my father eventually told me as if I didn't know. Yeah, it's a little weird, but
okay.
I compartmentalized and didn't tell anyone for decades because I thought if it was a secret, if my parents kept it a secret, I guess I had to keep it a secret. Okay. I was ashamed almost.
Oh.
So I put it aside, like in my shoulder. There it was. you know, until, of course, it came out much, much later, 15 maybe years.
Yeah.
So I just knew that I was, you know what? My dad, when he told me, he said, you know, you were a chosen child. And there's a whole other story that goes along mm-hmm. with that. And I said, doesn't matter. You know, we're both in tears. I said, you're my dad. You were my parents.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
I love you. And I put that's all that mattered to me was that I had a beautiful life. I was raised, you know, with such loving parents and such a great environment, given everything I could ever want, along with the ability to know right from wrong and know how important it is to give back in the world.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful that you grew up with that sense. Did it help you have a secure sense of yourself, Kim, and your identity and a belief in yourself?
Well, it did eventually. You know, we all go through a stage when we are younger and teenagers and not feeling ourselves. My spark got dimmed in my teenage years with a somewhat abusive boyfriend, you know, okay. So that it took me until my mother passed to really get into because I was 22, you don't grow into yourself until you're a little bit older.
Right.
I'm still growing into myself.
Yes. Yes. You know, speaking of that, Kim, I love some of your speaking topics. And the one that struck me is you're never too old, because I'm 52 and I feel really good about that. But when I turned 50, I was kind of freaking out because, there's all this messaging that's your midlife, or all this messaging that I thought I hadn't let seep into my mind because I'm super healthy, super young. And, but I felt upset and now I don't feel upset, but just looking at wanting to be aware of my abilities instead of lack thereof. I wonder if you could help me and others with this, you're never too old, that you really embrace and speak about.
Yeah, I really do embrace that. And I do believe, Lisa, that this is the time where I was meant to share my wisdom on stages. Yeah. You know, what would I have said at 30, right? Now I know, because I started my podcast at 64, you know, as long as you are in somewhat good health, you know, and I believe you can achieve greater health at any time. I'm a big believer in holistic practices married with traditional medical, you know, whatever people. But I feel like there's so much around this topic. You know, for decades, media portrayed women my age with white hair, because I do have white hair. Thank you, pandemic. Clairol was my best friend. No, not Clairol per se, but you know, that's how I grew up. You know, it was, you're better blonde. I was blonde, fortunately. So when I started going gray, was blonde. It really took me about a second to transition too. So it wasn't a big deal for me.
Yeah.
But the media portrays women my age who are grandmothers, I'm not yet a grandmother, as older. You know, they wear polyester pants and sensible shoes and cardigans. Well, I'm not a cardigan on, but it's cute. And I'm a big fashion gal, love fashion. Yes. So I just feel like media is to blame for a lot of it. And the way that I never knew my grandparents, but people who knew their grandparents, they were older and they didn't do anything for the most part. They sat and crocheted and they lived for their grandchildren. Some people still do. That's great. But I know that women over 50 have so much left to give to the world. And excuse me, whether you've gone through menopause, going through menopause, whether you have just launched children from the home, or whether you've transitioned from a job that you really hated, but it was corporate, and now, and you're like, now what? It's challenging for women to get into the workplace, but we have so many skills. And that's why there are more women entrepreneurs over the age of 50 than any other age. I've done my research.
Amazing.
Yeah, because we have so much left to offer. I mean, our brains are still there. Come on, people. So I learned how to edit a podcast at the age of 64. Now, I had a broadcast degree in broadcast journalism, so I kind of understood the concept. But I became a certified yoga teacher at the age of 64 as well. Online, I did it. But there's always something we can learn. And being curious, being a curious seeker, that's what keeps us young. So it just... I've done a lot of research on this from this class I'm creating, because, you know, there are women who start lifting weights in their 70s. Okay, it's not too late. I mean, when people say it's too late, I'm like, no, you don't have to go out and win a bodybuilding contest, but you can pick up a 2-pound weight. Get in your desk and do a couple of reps every day. Just anything. I don't want people to sit and just do nothing. I want people to live their best life. Why? I don't know. I guess it's because I love being around happy people.
It makes you happy. I can tell. You know, and something you said a few minutes ago really struck me in a good way when you were being flippant and funny about at 30, what I've even spoken about, that really resonated, because I feel like somehow at 50, something clicked and I feel so comfortable in my own skin, and I haven't felt that for a lot of my life. And it's like something really changed where I have so much to offer and my life makes sense. And I feel like I've successfully navigated so many things, and I can look back and see the arc of my life and who I am today. I'm actually who I've always wanted to be. And it took all of that linear time, I guess, to get here. So I'm feeling really encouraged that there's just so much more.
Yeah. And you should. That's so interesting, because that's really cool that you felt that at 50. I felt a different way. I still had kids at home at 50. But, you know, there are different transitions that we learn from in our lives. And I felt comfortable in myself at 40 and at 50. And I'm a different me, but really me, and 60. But I'm really inching way towards 70 right now. And instead of going 70, holy crap.
Yeah,
I'm just going to say, what's that decade going to bring? I'm not there yet. I have 3 years. 3 years.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You're so vibrant. You're so young. It's like the energy of like a 20-something year old.
Well, I have heard that, Lisa. Thank you. And I do believe that we are born with the personalities we're born with. Mm. However, and we can enhance that at any time. Mm-hmm. I was always told I was too much. I talk too much in class. I'm too much. I didn't get this job. Too much, too much, too much. Well, you know, I have given myself permission to be too much right now.
Yes. Yes.
That's what comes with age.
I love that. I have been told that I'm too intense and that used to bother me, but my intensity has created amazing things on this planet and in this world. And I think if you're not intense enough about what you want, it's never going to happen. And so I feel really proud that my intensity has created things that will outlive me and be forever, like my book and foundation and invention and just this podcast and things that I get to leave the world and always will be here in those ways and intending to touch people's lives forever.
Yes. Yes. That's so amazing. And I've never thought about the word intense before you spoke it that way. It's so important for us all to have intentions.
Yes.
And I don't think of you, I don't know you that well, but as an intense person. When you think of an intense person, you think of someone who sort of negative almost. And I think of your intensity in a very positive way. You set your intention to do these things and you did them.
Absolutely.
It's no different than, I don't consider myself intense, but I think I am. I'm intent on creating a program, and I work many hours a day on this now. And that's my form of intensity. Everybody has their own. And I think it's a compliment. Yeah.
Thank you. It's taken a while for me to embrace that. And I've been able to do the things I've really wanted in this world because of my focused intention upon specific things that have taken intensity to create, to stay with something for years until it's actually manifested. That takes some intensity and veracity. And without it, the shit's not going to happen.
Absolutely. Amazing.
So Kim, I want to share Babyfoot with our audience, but when we come back, I'd love to hear more. I was intrigued that you were a traveling editor for Glamour magazine and fashion director at Saks Fifth Avenue. You have your own production company. You do commercials. You've directed over 200 fashion shows. Will you share with us more about that?
Delighted.
Awesome. We will see you in just a moment. So y'all, I have this product to share with you. It's really cool. Babyfoot was created in Japan. It is an at-home spa experience for your feet. And since 1997, they have sold over 25 million foot peels. They're awesome. And as my listener, as my viewer, you get 20% off to try them out. Go to babyfoot.com. Use code therapy24 to get that 20% off. And what I like about them is it's two booties that you get. There's spa sets with moisturizers and such for your feet. You can get the kits. I got the booties that you put your feet in. It's like a squishy gel. You tape them up, put on the socks they send, and you wear them for an hour. And after an hour, you wash your feet. And over the next 10 days, this is going to sound gross, but it's actually amazing. All this dead skin peels off of your feet that you never knew was there. And my feet are like a baby's bottom. I guess hence baby foot, like the feet of a baby. I think of a baby's butt. My feet are that smooth. There's a lavender scent. There's a non-scented. They have foot peels for men, as well as moisturizers and foot scrubs. Just go check out everything they offer and use code therapy24. For 20% off whatever you want at babyfoot.com. Let's get back to Kim and learn about her life in fashion.
Hello. Oh, thank you. One of my favorite topics, fashion.
Talk to us about this. This is so interesting.
I love clothes. I love clothes, but so did my parents. I came by this really organically. My dad loved shopping for my mother and I. He loved clothes. My mother loved clothes. I've always loved fashion. And I had a knack for putting clothes together. So I've always loved it. I didn't know you could have a career in fashion when I was growing up. So certainly I didn't go to school for fashion or anything, but I was fortunate to land upon a job in Manhattan at Glamour magazine. And I say land upon, I didn't even know there was such a job. And I applied for it and got it. Or it wasn't auditioning, it was applying back in then, in the olden days with phones and stuff.
Yes.
And it was the best place to work in the 1980s in Manhattan. You know, I was in the Condé Nast building with all these fabulous magazines. Wow. And I was not contributing to the content of the publication. I was one of the people who traveled around and we brought the pages of the magazine to life. So two of us would go to different department stores across the country that had bought a page of advertising in the magazine. And in addition, because they did that, they got us to come out and put on a fashion show. Wow. And we did Glamour Do's and Don'ts, for those who remember. And we talked about trends in beauty and makeup and fashion, hair, everything in front of 500 women. We'd go to Nordstrom and there'd be 500 women and we'd talk to them.
Amazing.
Before the store opened. And then their fashion, this is so funny, Lisa, because their fashion director, like at the time, would put on another fashion show. We would just do a little bit. They would put on this huge fashion show and it was so much work. I saw what these fashion directors did and I'm like, I would fly in, you know, we'd stay in beautiful hotels. We'd do our mini little do's and don'ts. We'd get up and talk to people and it was fabulous.
Yeah.
So I did that for a couple of years and then I turned 30 and went, oh, this is a lot of travel. We were traveling 6 months out of the year and decided I wanted to move to San Francisco. just because I'd been in Manhattan for 8 years.
Yeah.
Dated everybody there. There was no one left.
Yeah. That's great.
Well, my husband said I moved here because I dated the phone book and needed to meet him. So it was really funny. But what do I end up doing? I think I have this great resume. I worked at Glamour. I worked in advertising. I worked in PR. I'd also tried to be an actress many years. For all those 8 years, I tried to do that too on the side. And I can't get a job to save my life. So I do a couple of jobs and end up being a fashion director at Saks Fifth Avenue in Palo Alto. The job I swore I'd never take because it was so much work and it was so hard. It was so much work but it was so much fun. It was just, I loved it. And Lisa, this is where I sort of got my idea originally to work with women. Well, it took a while, but I was the fashion director at Saks until they closed in 1993. And I put on fashion shows, did advertising, all of everything to promote the store. And the fashion shows were not only professional models, because I did use those, but we did shows for schools and organizations that were benefits, fundraisers. Wow. So I worked with hundreds of women, men, children, everybody, but mostly women who were not professional models.
Okay.
And I saw the power of transformation. I witnessed it firsthand. When the store closed, then I created my own fashion show production company and did fashion shows for a long time, 20 years ago. And I saw women who were afraid to get on a stage with their son or daughter because they were modeling along with them. And I just knew they could do it. So I believed in them, gave them some power of positive coaching thinking before I was even a certified coach. Great music, hair and makeup. I have seen what that can do for women. Mm-hmm. And I realized, wow, these women really changed. I mean, it was a brief transformation because it was a brief time I was with them. And then when I stopped officially getting paid for doing fashion shows in 2011, for 6 years, I worked with women who previously been incarcerated, and it was a volunteer job, and worked with them to raise money for the place where they lived. Mm-hmm. And we used clothes from a thrift store. It was all under the St. Vincent de Paul Society of San Mateo County. And I saw more transformation than I ever dreamed possible. These women who had felt so poorly about themselves, lost all self-esteem, felt unworthy. When I worked with them, now I worked with them longer than I did the other people. You know, I'd be with them every week for several months. And I saw how confident they became on a runway in front of hundreds of people.
Wow.
And it just made me realize that I can bring this to anyone. Mm-hmm. It's taken until now, when I'm creating an online program, which is virtual, which I know will reach more people than just the small workshops I've been able to host locally. So fashion is just a love of mine. And I think it is transformational. And yes, it can be, I don't know, unnecessary at times, but I love it. And I was a personal stylist for a long time too, and helped women shop their own closet, shop TJ Maxx, shop Nordstrom, you know, everything.
Yes. So beautiful. And how is it, if someone's watching, listening, really loving your energy as I do, wanting to work with you, how do they start? And how do you start with them?
We start with a question. I mean, we start with, do you want to be helped? What is it that you feel is lacking in your life? And I only work with people who want to ignite their spark. Mm-hmm. I do not go into trauma. I do not go into shadow work. We bring joy into your life. Mm-hmm. And I don't work with a lot of people one-on-one anymore, but that's why I'm creating this program, How to Ignite Your Spark for Women Over 50. And I really decided to niche down because sort of my area of expertise.
Absolutely.
You know, I've never done that. But I do work with a few people occasionally. And I just need to talk to people and see if I'm the right person. You know how that is. You need
to. Sure.
Eventually, my class will be up. It's taking a lot longer than I thought. It would be self-guided, 7 modules. I include yoga and meditations and workbooks.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's like full circle. What you learned being in fashion and design and seeing women light up and start to love themselves more from the inside out and the outside in, both directions, and really infusing that and incorporate that with coaching and what you've learned about life. It feels very full and comprehensive to me.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. And then lastly, your podcast that I love being on, Ignite Your Spark. What made you start it?
The pandemic. Okay. I realized in March of 2020 that I was, and well, as we were going into this, I'm like, I got to do something. I have to find community. I have to do something. So I created a class called Ignite Your Spark, divinely downloaded that name, and contacted women, at about 15 women. And we did a 4-week module class called Ignite Your Spark. And I did that twice. And that was great. And then it came to me, oh, I think I want to do a podcast. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it was really to bring inspiration and motivation to people because we were so isolated. And I really love alternative things and healings and spirituality. And I wanted to bring that to the forefront of people's minds.
You do
minds
that well. You do
and
it well.
Connection is why I created it. And my three words for this year, Lisa, are connection, community, and collaboration. Mm-hmm. And I know there's three words. Most people do one, but I did three because community is so important to me. Just so important.
Yes. So Kim, I want to direct people to your website, which is Kim Duff, D-U-F-F, Selby, S-E-L-B-Y.com.
No, at .com, right?
Yes. No, and then your email would be Kim
Duff Selby at Gmail.
Yes, at gmail.com. And your Instagram is Kim Duff Selby, and your YouTube is Kim Selby, and you have a TikTok.
I do. I'm very active on TikTok. I do. It's Kim Duff Selby. And Instagram is different. And I found that on TikTok, I just am like my crazy self.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
Like I'll be starting to film this and I'll go, here's me starting to film. And I do my outfits of the day. And
I love it.
I do my dance of the day. And
you can really express yourself.
Yes. And that's what I want people to do. Express themselves. Don't hold it back.
You are so vibrant and your energy is just contagious in a wonderful way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. I'm so glad the universe connected us.
Me too. There are no accidents.
And do you still live in San Fran?
I do. I'm a little bit south of San Francisco. That's where I am.
Beautiful area. Beautiful. Well, I'll be in LA starting in June. If you ever head down, let me know. I'd love to meet you.
I will. Definitely.
And I'll let you know if I head up to Northern California.
Sounds good.
Kim, thank you for your time today. I really appreciate you.
Thank you for the opportunity, Lisa. I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes today's episode with Kim Duff Selby. Please do, if you love alternative spirituality and unique things like quantum field topics and paradigms and just really interesting guests and shows, go check out Ignite Your Spark podcast hosted by Kim Duff Selby. And with that, all of my love, and I will be with you next week. Mwah.
And that's a wrap. Thank you. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review All Things Therapy on the platform you're listening from. And let's connect on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at NOLA Therapy, the abbreviation for New Orleans, Los Angeles Therapy, reflecting my two favorite cities. And let's keep changing consciousness, one conversation at a time.